Welcome, everybody. November 7th, 2018, new moon in Scorpio. I just want to talk about something really important, my hair. Because when I got on here to chat with y'all, I realized I went to work out and I had this ponytail on the back of my head. And over the course of the evening, it slowly moved over to the left. And I feel like I'm in an 80s movie. I'm ready for Molly Ringwald to walk in at any moment. I'm like, what is going on here? I'm kind of embarrassed. I feel like I'm 16, but I'm going to leave it because, you know, my little 16-year-old self would never have had a ponytail like this. So I'm going to go ahead and just relive that experience. I didn't realize it was doing that until we got online and I could see myself in the video. I'm like, so anyway, like I said, that was really important. Let's get that out of the way first. I'm in a giddy mood, and anybody who's come to ceremony with me knows what that means. And if you've not sat in ceremony with me, the giddier I get, the deeper we tend to go. So hold on to your seats. This Scorpio energy is potent. And with all of the collective energy, the collective conscious that's really activated right now in the political arena and everything that's been happening there, I've received information from a couple people, people who work with astrology and different modalities to read the energies, have been talking to me and chatting with me about this new moon being particularly potent for old, como se dice, old stories, old patterns, old programs, and really, I feel like the best word for it is old lessons that are coming back around. And you know these lessons, you've done this before, and it's really, this is a really potent time to complete some cycles of really old lessons. And Scorpio loves to go deep and shadowy anyway. That energy is awesome for that. And that with the new moon aspect is really shadowy. And I don't mean shadowy in a bad way. It's just the opportunity to see deeper into our shadow aspects and really get underneath those layers, to the core, to the seed of what's directing you. You know, we think that it's, I'm behaving this way because I'm sad, but then there's all, or whatever the it is. And then underneath, what's underneath that? What's underneath that? What's underneath that? When students are studying in the trainings with me, and tobacco ceremony and different ceremonies, we do a lot of really uncovering and excavating what's underneath that, what's underneath that, what's underneath that. And for those who were at tobacco ceremony this recent Sunday, one of the things that came up was a discussion around the water that we swim in. We're like fish swimming in water, and so we don't know the water that we're swimming in because we're always swimming in it. And I told them that story of the two young fish were swimming in the water, and this grandpa fish is swimming towards them. And as they're getting ready to pass each other, the old grandpa fish says, "Good day. Water's beautiful, isn't it?" And the young fish are like, "Hey," and keep swimming. And then about 60 seconds later, one young fish turns to the other young fish and says, "What's water?" You know, and that's what it's like. We're in this energy and we don't even know the energy we're in. It was really fascinating on Sunday, and those who were there can attest to this, that as we were making every effort to really recognize, oh, that's just the water I swim in, and I need to be aware that that's the water I swim in, we were still doing it. We were still, we thought we were really uncovering some things. And then I said, yeah, that's what we do every time. That's different than the mainstream, but it's the same for us. Let's go deeper. Let's excavate that. Let's unpack that. Let's dig into that. I'm trying to find words that don't sound so negative for some folks, but I like the idea of unpacking, of really looking at each little piece that's within. And so it was really interesting, even for me, to recognize, even in ceremony, where we're doing all this, what's underneath, let's go deeper, what's underneath, we can still get in a habit. We can still get in a pattern. We can still be making the same intentions and prayers over and over. Nothing wrong with that. Consistency is good. At the same time, awareness that we're doing that and even when you're aware and doing spiritual things, you can be in the water that you're swimming in and not realize you're in that type of program. That makes sense? It's not that it's bad or good. It's just an awareness that, oh, I'm in this groovy little program and I'm doing all this mojo. And then we kind of get in our own little box too. And for me, it's about consistently being willing to question everything. Everything I believe, everything I think is real, everything I say to you, everything. I just question it all, not in an obsessive way. And the trick too is to not, this isn't about doubting yourself. This isn't questioning yourself as far as trusting yourself. This is simply questioning in an exploratory way. Why do I believe that? What am I saying? What do I mean when I say I'm going to take personal responsibility? What does that mean? You know, and on and on, just using that as an example. So for me, this new moon and the Scorpio new moon have been really great for continuing to be honest with the exploration of what's really motivating me in those unconscious ways. And I'm seeing long-term relationships and or shift. It doesn't have to be a long-term romantic relationship. It might be that you're stepping out of a living situation that's just not working for you anymore. I know I have someone here that who knows I'm talking to her. You know, just recognizing that something is just not healthy for you anymore. It's just not feeling good for you anymore. I had this experience recently where I really wanted to let go of this person and this situation, but there was something there that I thought I needed. So I decided to just rise above and I finally just sent an email and said, yeah, this isn't how I want to do this. I don't need to do this way. And they weren't willing to do it, find any middle ground with me. And so I realized, you know what, I've been holding on to this because I thought I needed this other thing from this situation. And I don't. I will find that other thing elsewhere. I know I'm being kind of vague because I don't want to get into a whole story around it. It's just interesting to me how I can still find myself holding on to someone or a situation, even if I don't genuinely resonate with them. I just don't even really like the way they're doing things. And I'll still hold on because there's something there that I want to get out of it, instead of going, this isn't resonating, this feels contracting and constrictive, and allowing that energy that does not work for me to shift and letting it go, and maybe even saying I'm letting this go to the person or the situation, and allowing what I needed from that to come to me in a healthier way. And I still sometimes will forget, it will still show up. And if it doesn't show up, I get to let it go. And that to me is the beauty of the trust and making that leap. And I know I'm not getting into details about the story, but this was something that I had been holding on to for a couple of years because I did need something there for us to use in ceremony. You know, I need product from this person. And even though I was not in alignment with what's going on with that organization, I still needed product to share with students. And so I was nervous to say, I don't want to do this with you this way, to that organization. And then I realized I just have to be honest and step out. And as soon as I did, other opportunities for product that feel better came through. Go figure. Always works that way. And for me, it's really about getting into alignment. And I know I'm sharing the story with you to let you know that I know it can be nerve-wracking to end something, you know, to let something end, to let something really let it go and be willing to wonder if you'll get what you need elsewhere, be willing to see if that space will be filled in a better way, be willing to let people not like you, be willing to let them send back a passive-aggressive email instead of actually conversing with you about it, which was my experience, you know, and just going, okay, Godspeed, good luck, God bless, whatever. And I know for me personally, there's stuff around, I would like for all of us to communicate very openly and very consciously and with awareness. And I don't want people to not like me. I don't want to have funky energy with people. And the more I get into alignment with whether I like myself and I'm making decisions from what feels good to me, then it's okay if they're not happy with me. It's okay if they're not pleased with the email that I sent. That's all right. I was not rude. I was in alignment with what's my truth. It was not their truth. It's a big world. There's other people that it will be their truth. And I get to keep reminding myself of that. Maybe it's because I'm Pisces. I want us all to just love each other. Let's all just get along and love each other. It doesn't work like that. I don't think it's supposed to. I really feel that we're supposed to have these differences and allow whatever comes up from that to be lessons for us, and allow it to be okay that I don't disagree with this. I mean, I don't agree with this person I was emailing with. They don't agree with me, and that's okay. And yeah, I found that I personally felt like the email was passive aggressive. I'm sure they didn't. That's okay. Maybe they like me. Maybe they don't. That's okay. Like, I need to not write stories around it. So really it comes back to personal responsibility, the ability to respond. That's what was really coming up a lot in tobacco ceremony. And that's what I want to offer up tonight. Your ability to respond is really key right now. It's really key because there's so many things that are around and within that can bring up stuff and trigger things and activate things. And that's how it's meant to be. If nothing was getting triggered or activated or bothering you or getting your attention, you might be bored. You might not be living your human experience in its fullness, where I feel that we're meant to have the polarity, the polarities and all the different ways that we do. And it doesn't need to be divisive. It can simply be different experiences. And how do we choose to respond? What is my ability to respond? So I'm fine with that email. I'm fine with that situation. And once I really was honest and in alignment with myself and willing to let go, all sorts of other great stuff flowed in. And it's like that, como se dice, Indiana Jones. Okay, I have to just back up a minute and tell you that years and years ago, 20 years ago, I was going and talking to this nun and a bit at a Benedictine convent, and she was super cool. And I was going to talk to her like a spiritual counselor. She was awesome. And I had a lot of healing to do around my relationship with the church, so it was really great to talk to this really cool nun who was very much a Christ consciousness energy. And she used Indiana Jones as an example one day, and I thought that was hysterical because this woman was like 70 years old, and she's like, "Do you remember that scene in Indiana Jones?" And I'm going, "Cool, you watched Indiana Jones. That's cool." So I was really impressed with her, and I've remembered this since then. And I know any of you all who've seen the Indiana Jones movies, you'll know what I'm talking about. But there's that scene. I don't remember which movie it is. We'll find it. Somebody will find it and post it in the group. That'll be great. But there's a scene where he's got to get across the cavernous, you know, there's the big open thing, and he's here and he's got to get over there. And it doesn't look like there's any way to get over there. And he takes some stones and he throws them, and the stones land on these things that aren't visible. But once the stones hit them, you can see that there's things, pillars for him to jump on to get across. The catch is you don't see them until you jump on them and land on them, right? So this is a faith jump. This is a leap of faith, literally. So once he threw the stones and he saw that there's actually pillars out there, they went invisible, and he still had to jump and trust that he would be caught by these things, because they literally rose up to catch him after he jumped. And that's what I'm really feeling for this Scorpio new moon, is that reminder that you cannot swim to the other side of the pool if you're holding on to the first side where you walked in. You just can't do it. You cannot be holding on to this side of the river and swimming to the other side at the same time, because you don't want to let go of the other side that you're on. You know, we've got to be willing to let go. It's okay if you need to tie a rope around you and hook it in just in case, because the current is really nutty. That's what these practices are for. For me, these practices are that tether that helps me feel connected and supported while I'm going through what may seem like treacherous water to get to the other side. And I still have to let go of the riverbank to swim. So that's what I'm personally feeling for this Scorpio new moon. This is not a leap of faith where you haven't done any preparation and you're not getting any support and you're just like willy-nilly jumping off a cliff. That's not what I'm talking about. To me, a leap of faith is you have prepared, you're doing your practice, you're doing your work, you're learning to trust yourself, and you know that it's time to jump. That to me is a true leap of faith. Otherwise, it's just crazy. I mean, crazy is not a word that I generally use. Otherwise, it's without discernment. That's what I meant to say. It's without discernment. If you're just like, I don't know anything, you just walk off the edge there. That's not necessary. And I feel like that's what a lot of people do. And then they get scared and don't want to do a leap of faith again. To me, a leap of faith means that you believe in yourself enough to do the work and prepare for that jump. You don't just jump out of an airplane without doing hundreds of hours of jumping out with somebody else tandem. They practice and practice and practice to be able to do that by themselves. And then they jump out of an airplane at a certain height and they do that for a while and then they can get higher and then they do that for a while and then they get higher. You see, this is poco a poco, step by step. If you're wanting to just jump out of the airplane like you've been doing it for years and you've only been doing it for 20 minutes, yeah, that's gonna be stressful. And just like we talked about in tobacco ceremony, and Gina Marie, you reminded me of this in your email. Thanks for that feedback. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. Like, you gotta want it, whatever it is. If you really want happiness, then you gotta want it so that you're willing to do whatever it takes for you to get there. If you want to be a professional singer, then you got to practice. You know those shows where people go on, those talent shows like The Voice and all that? All those people have been practicing for years. Some of them were even on other talent shows in other countries. I love to believe that all those people showed up and have no experience singing, but 99% of the time, it's just not true. They have practiced, they have prepared, they have vocal coaches, they have, you know, piano lessons, they're doing the things, and then they show up and we go, oh, that's so wonderful, as if there's some overnight success. No, they've been doing their practice. So, and they really want it, and they're willing, they really want it. So that's something that's been coming up for me too. Do you really want it? Are you willing to do it even if nobody else will do it with you? Are you willing to do it even if you're not getting graded? Are you willing to study if you're not getting graded and do it, you know, work if you're not getting paid? Are you willing to do it? Do you want it? You got to be hungry. And I feel, honestly, I feel that that's a big piece of what's kept me going on the path. The path has often been challenging. The shaman's path is a path of initiation. So needless to say, that's not always been fun. And I wanted it more than the initiation could knock me over. Even if I was laying there completely knocked over like a tree felled in the woods, crying, sure that I was completely done with this journey, I still wanted it. You know, so that's what's kept me going. So find that thing that's your, Rowan talks about this. Rowan, who's on here, talks about your why. Right? What's your why? I think that's how you phrase it. You know, what's your why? What's that thing that feeds your soul? Don't think, oh, well, that feeds my soul, but I could never make a living doing it. Or that feeds my soul and nobody would ever be interested in it. Or don't put all those caveats on it. If somebody had told me when I was in the psych ward that one day I would make a living doing what they put me in a psych ward for, needless to say, I wouldn't have believed that, right? So they didn't put me in a psych ward. I checked into a psych ward. Let me have total transparency. That was my decision based on doctor recommendation. And none of the doctors said, this is wonderful that you're in the psychiatric ward. One day you'll be talking and laughing about it on a shamanic mentorship online. And nobody said that to me, right? So find your why. Don't worry about how you're going to get there or what it means or if it needs to be your job or no. Don't just put all of that to the side and just figure out what is it you really want. If you want to be the best mom ever, then that's your focus. If you want to heal, it doesn't have to be some goal, some job, some financial situation, that might be it too, but that's not really what feeds me. The money isn't what feeds me. It's nice to get paid. I got rent too, but that's not why I do it. That's not what feeds my soul. That's just what feeds me from my refrigerator, right? You got to find the thing that feeds your soul. Don't worry about if you're going to make a living doing it. Don't worry about if it's a job. Don't worry about if it's anything anybody else cares about. Find your thing. Find that thing that you want, that you really, 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 really want. That's the place to start. But I find that people have this thing they really, really, really want, and then they start focusing on how they really, really, really don't have it. And it just, and that's, then you've gone off the rails. That's not the track we want to be on. And that I really feel that this, we have an opportunity tonight. Let's do some journeying and let's really allow yourself to go underneath those outer layers, those more superficial layers. Allow yourself to start excavating and unpacking from within. What really, really is not needing to be connected to you or attached to you right now? You know, people talk about letting go, but I feel like that's kind of flippant. People talk about letting go, and I'm not sure if they're really doing it, you know, and people are posting on Facebook and trying to proselytize and be a Facebook guru. Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. This is about really being honest with yourself. Your ability to respond means that you got to start with being super honest with yourself, because when you're in complete alignment with yourself, then other people, they can't knock you off, can't throw you off your game, because you're solid within yourself. That's a practice as well. It's a practice for me too. I'm walking around in the world as a human in a human suit. I get it. So tonight, I want you to be really, really, really honest with yourself, because nobody else is going to know. You don't have to share this with anybody. Start getting really honest with yourself. Where are the toxic energies in your life? Where are the places that are just the shadow that is really needing to be excavated and unpacked and looked into, even if it's not comfortable? What are those belief systems that you haven't even admitted to yourself? Where's the shame that's been hiding out deep in there that you may not even realize is shame, that really needs to come up and be seen, so that we can step out of shame and be able to really embody who we are? And what do you really want? Like, what do you really want? Let's not just talk about transformation. Let's do this. I'm not on here to just, you know, be fluffy and whatever. I mean, fluffy is fine. I like fluffy. I especially like the fluffy cats that walk through. There's a time and a place for that. For me, I don't want to just talk about transformation. I would like for us to embody it so that people look at you and go, holy smokes, you have transformed. What is going on? You can be like, I wanted it. And I was willing to look at myself so deeply that I could really get clear and recognize the water you're swimming in. You're swimming in water that may or may not really support who you want to be. That might be your inner circle. That might be a farther out circle. It might be the culture at large. Generally, the culture at large doesn't understand how to support people living into something beyond the matrix box. We don't have to focus on that. Just recognize that's not the water you want to swim in. And I promise you that as you do this, you will find a way to embody what you choose to embody, even within the context of the water that we're swimming in. This is not about leaving the water. This is not about some reaching some form of enlightenment and leaving your body. I was talking to this amazing Jungian. That's I just put those words together. Amazing Jungian psychologist who was telling me that she was saying this is the age where it's not just enough to reach enlightenment and then, you know, go live in a cave in the mountains anymore. We need to reach enlightenment, whatever that means to you, and stay. You know, reach that awareness and that consciousness and be embodied in human form and stay among the people. You know, for me, in biblical terms, that would be in the world, not of the world. But, you know, if Jesus is your thing and that's you, where you came from or what you grew up in, I grew up in that, it's still this teacher, just like, you know, like Buddha was super rich and then went out to be in the world. Most of these teachers that you read about and these ascended masters, whether you believe in that or not, they're talking about reaching that state of enlightenment and awareness and alignment and staying among the people. And that was really interesting to talk about because my whole life I wanted to reach some place like it's a linear thing. Like maybe I'll get to the top of the mountain and then I just wanted to go away from the people. I'm like, I'm going to go live in my little cave now or my little witch cottage or whatever, whatever your dream is, your daydream for when you can get away from the peoples. And I really was just like, I just want to go to South America and just work with medicine and just be in ceremony all the time. And she was like, that's not trailblazer. That's been done. You got to stay among the people. You got to be the medicine among the people. That is the evolution of that, of the medicine. And I was just like, dang, you're right. Okay. So that's what I'm offering here is that how can we be the medicine in the world? How can we stay in our lives, in this human experience, and still live into our full, our fullness, our wholeness, our total luminous divine experience while being in the world? You know, this is a journey. This is not somewhere to get to. And I know you all know that. I feel like we need to constantly be reminded. We live and we swim in water that is very goal-oriented. I love goals. I love to feel productive. I like to feel productive. I think I don't like goals, actually. Goals kind of intimidate me because they're so big, but I do like to feel productive. And I can still get caught up in that goal-oriented thing. And that can happen spiritually. That can happen emotionally. That can happen in all the ways. And that's the water we're swimming in. That's not the reality of the spiritual practice. There's no goal. A lot of the spiritual practices make it sound like there is, because that's the water we're swimming in. So let's do some journeying. I'm going to do a little mojo, and Aaron's ready to sing tonight. Thank you, Aaron. I love having different energies coming through. And let's see where this takes us. And Linda, if we have any time afterwards, I can check in with you, okay, because you had commented on the Facebook page. I can also check in with a couple other people. Maybe we'll just journey for about 30 minutes, okay? So I say 30 minutes. I don't know. You know, spirit does what spirit's going to do. So let's do a little mojo. Go ahead and get comfortable. Find a space that feels good for you. Get my rattles and things here. Okay, make sure we're ready to go. And just take a nice, gentle breath deep into your belly. Just allow yourself to relax. Find a comfortable place to sit or lie down. And for those of you who have guides that you're working with, you are welcome to invite in your guides. Feel yourself surrounded by them. I'm just taking a moment to invoke the pillars of this temple so that we are all surrounded together in medicine world. Archangels Michael, Ariel, Gabriel, Uriel, Raphael, Sandalphon, Metatron, Zadkiel, Melchizedek, San Germain, San Cipriano. Activating this temple grid space so that we are together at the sacred fire within medicine world. And everything is welcome into the space as pure love and pure medicine only. Just remembering to breathe gently into your belly. Invoking the support of our ancestors. Connecting and honoring Mother Earth, Pachamama. Thank you, Pachamama. Thank you, ancestors. Invoking the spirits and the support of all indigenous people who remember our connection to the earth, asking them to help us remember our connection to the earth, our connection to the animals, into the very subtle energies that surround us all the time. Original shaman, invoking that original shaman wisdom, that Kamaska wisdom within each of us. Invoking the plant medicine teachers to support and assist in our sacred remembering. Inviting in the celestial realms, the archangels, star beings. Inviting in the Munari for psychic and energetic surgeries for anyone who would like to receive that support tonight. And of course, inviting in your guides, your support teams, your healing teams in the realms, and welcoming them into the space. Let's just take a moment of gratitude for all of the support that you have in the seen and unseen realms. If that support only feels like one energy, that is where you start, and that is beautiful. And let's take a moment and just give thanks for all of this beautiful support around us. As you gently breathe into your belly, visualize your portal door. Make your way into your sacred space. And just take a moment and look around, reconnect with your sacred space. Connect with your guides there. Take a moment to see if any new guides would like to step forth this evening to support you. If you'd like, you can ask for a gift or gifts that will support you at this time for your highest and greatest good. And just take a moment to receive. Whatever you get is perfect. If you're not sure what to do with it, just bring it into your heart. I'd like to invite each of you to invite into your sacred space, however you visualize the spirit of Scorpion, the spirit of Scorpio, that scorpion medicine that can, sometimes we're not sure how to respond to it. We're not sure what to expect. Let's work with that, that deep medicine that empowers us to really trust ourselves. Invite in that scorpion medicine. And let Scorpion know that you'd like to work with that energy tonight to learn to trust all of your gifts, what you perceive as shadow, what you perceive as light, and to be willing to be who you are no matter what, even if others don't understand you. Being willing to be in balance with your gifts and your medicine and the lessons that you carry for yourself and for the rest of us. Ask Scorpion to help you figure out what you really want, what feeds your soul, how to be willing to move forward in that direction. And let all of your guides support and assist in really uncovering the shadow so that you can bring light to what's really true for you.
Om Pue Om. Om Pue Om Medicina. Om Pue Om Medicina. Earth, earth, medicina. Om Pue Om, medicina. Transformation, medicina. Transformation medicina. Shadow, shadow medicina. Truth, truth medicina. Truth, truth, medicina. Spider, spider, medicina. Transform, shadow, medicina. What's underneath medicina? Om Pue Om medicina, so I can see medicina, what's underneath medicina, what I'm hiding medicina. What is my truth, medicina? Clarity, medicina. Clarity. Medicina. What's underneath Medicina? Transformation Medicina. In this new moon Medicina. What calls to you Medicina? What calls to you, Medicina? Listen, listen, Medicina. Listen, listen, Medicina. Your truth, Medicina. Empowerment, Medicina. Embodiment, Medicina. Embodiment, Medicina. Empowerment, Medicina. Transformation, Medicina. Transformation Medicina. Transformation Medicina.
Nice deep breath into your belly. Just taking your time to come to a place of completion. Connecting with your guides and the sacred space where we originally began. When you're ready, telling your guides thank you. Your guides are welcome to come back with you through your portal door. Feel them circling up around you, right where you are, wherever you're sitting or lying down. Before you close that portal door behind you, and I'm going to blow three puffs of smoke into my laptop here and just relax and feel them coming right into the crown of your head. And when you're back from your journey, be sure to drink a little bit of water. It's a nice way to ground, reconnect with your body, hydrate. I have not ever sung in Scorpion before, so that was fun. I can honestly say that's the first time I've done that. Never occurred to me. Calling Scorpion. And I love that we did, because why not? Everything carries medicine. So that was interesting. That was good medicine to bring in. I love how scorpions are, I feel like they're misunderstood. And there's a lot of anxiety and fear around them. When I was in Guatemala and I saw my first scorpion in person, I definitely jumped. I was not expecting that, and but I was fascinated by it, really fascinated by it. So I find that that's a good way to come to some of these things. Let's bring some awe, AWE. Let's bring some fascination. Let's bring some curiosity to these shadow places. So I hope you all were able to do some good journeying tonight. I want to take a moment. I'm going to go ahead and unmute Linda. Linda, you had a question on, I don't remember what you commented on the page. If you'll remind me what you commented about wanting to work on.
Well, we worked on it because I've had a really painful time at work lately, like things coming at me that were activating old wounds, and I just feeling kind of depressed by it and beaten down. Not knowing how to process it because my old pattern would get angry and act out. So I was trying not to be harsh in any way when I was wrongly accused of something. Mm-hmm. So I'm a school teacher, so I have a lot of people to deal with, special ed. So I just feel like I took it inside and I wanted to process it spiritually. And then I just had a really deep journey and we worked on old patterns, and that's what I wanted to work on.
Excellent. I kind of figured that if we did the journey, especially since you commented your intentions and things you'd like to work on, generally once you put that out there, either on the Facebook page or just on your own, spirit guides it. I'm really, like I've said in ceremony numerous times, I'm not driving the plane. I'm the in-flight entertainment. So I'm not surprised. I had a feeling that you would get some support with that. And I felt that that would probably be a good way for you to work with it. I know sometimes bringing up certain things in the group doesn't always feel, you know, comfortable if it feels really personal. But I'm really glad to hear that you got some support with that. Did you connect with Scorpion?
I felt like, I'm not sure if I know the Maori people, but I felt like they came and did some operation. I, it was weird because I felt like some blood coming out of my neck in different parts, and and then I turning gold and things. So, and I felt people around me holding my heart and my throat, which I've been having a hard time with.
Cool.
I don't know the Maori very well, so, but that's what it felt like. It was them.
Well, it's interesting when you said, I don't really know how to pronounce it. You said Maori or Maori. I was thinking the people in, where are they from? Is it New Zealand? No, Hawaii. No, I'm getting that wrong. Anne knows. Hold on. Anne's telling me.
Well, I thought you were right with it. New Zealand.
It's New Zealand, right. And aren't they the ones who do the haka? And all that, and they have all, that's who I thought you were talking about. I, which is interesting, I think it'd be really good for you to maybe tap in with, is it Maori, Anne?
Yes.
Maori, the Maori people. That's what I thought you were saying. I think that you were actually referring to the Munari.
Oh, who you said, I thought.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But I just want to, I don't want to ignore that because sometimes we say things by accident that are actually getting our attention. So I sense that there's some medicine for the, there for you. Just Google M-A-O-R-I, the Maori people in New Zealand. They're the ones you'll see the hakas, the dances that they do are like, ah, and all that. That was my haka impression. It's really powerful. And I'm feeling the counsel I'm receiving right now is that you really do need community. You know, you need that sense of community and ritual with community and that sense of place within rituals of community. And I feel like that's why Maori is coming through. The Munari, M-U-N-A-R-I is how I spell it. They are psychic and energetic surgeons in the realms. In my opinion, they're star beings. The way they were taught to me from an elder out in Mount Shasta is that they are a collective energy, kind of like Abraham from Abraham Hicks is a collective energy, but there's really more than one. The Munari are more than one, and yet it's all one collective energy. So they think, this isn't, they don't really think like we think, but using human terms, they work as a group, they're connected as a group, even though there's more than one. And they will do psychic and energetic surgeries, so I'm not surprised you saw stuff coming out and moving and changing colors. And they're really good at physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing. They also will offer activations, upgrades, attunements, downloads, uploads, loads, all sorts of stuff. They're really powerful. I first started working with them around activations and attunements and then realized that they were literally doing surgery and energetic surgery. And they're like doctors in the realms. They're pretty powerful. So feel free to keep working with the Munari. Everybody here is welcome to work with them. They're not my, I don't own them. I simply was introduced to them about maybe 9 or 10 years ago. And I trust them inherently. If I offer up a guide or a resource in the realms like that to you all, it's because I have worked with them long enough to trust them inherently. And I do trust them. They're very, very close. They're, and it's very close to my heart, the Munari. So I'm glad you worked with them, worked with them tonight. And I'm glad you got to work with the stuff you were working on. So just keep going with that. You know, I'm sure that there will be more that comes up. I'm receiving counsel that'd be really good to do some cord clearing. Do the cord clearing on my YouTube channel, cord clearing and forgiveness, Linda. Do that around. It's interesting. I'm receiving counsel to not only do it like with the kids and the administration and the teachers. You can do all of that at once, but also it's interesting. They're telling me to do that with the building itself. And do it with the whole space, physical as well as the people. So you can do that in one shamanic journey. You don't have to go each person, just within the cord clearing, see all the students, see all the teachers, faculty, whatever, and see the building itself, because it feels like you've definitely got some attachment to some energies in that building, which are coming from other people, things that are attached to them. So doing a cord clearing and forgiveness will help clean that up for you, so it's easier to stay clear when you're at work. Does that make sense?
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you say you're working with at-risk youth?
No, it's mostly just disabilities. Mm. Any student that's having a hard time, they usually send my way.
Yeah, there's definitely some entities in those buildings, in that school building, in those school buildings, especially because of the population you're working with. And there's no judgment around that. But there's things attached to some of the kids, and I would imagine to some of the parents of the children. And which you don't need to be fearful of, it's just what they're dealing with, but you're sensitive, so you're going to pick up on that. So do the cord clearings, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to help a lot. Good, I'm glad you're here. So does anybody else want to check in before I close things up? It's 8:12. I know I can't ever remember how you raise your hand on this thing, but you can just go like this since I can't remember where. Nobody wants to talk to me? That's all right. I'll just hang out by myself. It's just fine. I'll just sit here. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, well, it's 8:13. I feel like we're good to go. Let's see. Nope. Aaron, unmute yourself. Is there anything you want to share, Aaron?
No, I don't think so.
I just totally put you on the spot there. How's everybody's gratitude journals going? Is anybody even remembering to do those? Oh, good. Jennifer Miller's got her thumbs up. That's good. I forgot to take mine over the weekend. I went to my nephew's wedding and forgot to take it. And I was so bummed out that I couldn't physically write it down. So I would just lay there and think of all the things I was grateful for. But I really like how when I do the gratitude journal, especially since we had 3 weeks, there was a fifth Wednesday in whatever last month was, October, and we didn't get to see each other for 3 weeks. So it really helps me stay, it's a way to stay linked in with the group. And I really like that. And I really like to have that gratitude practice, especially during this new moon time. So Aaron, I guess you didn't really have anything to share, right? I just started talking about a gratitude journal. But thank you for singing. Thanks for keeping up with your gratitude journals. Some people have asked if you can invite friends. You can always invite friends to this. They can sign up. They don't have to have experience. They'll figure it out as they get here. My experience is that they get exactly what they need, even if they've never shamanic journeyed before. And this is an ongoing thing, so they don't have to wait till the beginning of the year or anything like that, just to answer that for everybody. Our next time that we're connecting is the Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. So a lot of you all might be traveling and out of town. And I understand if you're not here. I was thinking it'd be really neat to do like a big gratitude thing. And then I realized that's not really what I want to do. What I really want to do is some healing work on behalf of Native Americans and the indigenous people of this land, and some soul retrieval for this land and for the indigenous people here. That's the counsel I'm receiving. So if you're able to show up the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, I will be here. And of course, gratitude is always a central focus, and Thanksgiving is a great time to do that. But I'm really feeling, as soon as I thought gratitude, Spirit was like, no, we're going to go deeper than that. So we're doing some healing on behalf of the Native Americans of this land. And I just, Yannicka's little thing just popped up. I'd really like to do some healing on behalf of all indigenous peoples, even in Peru. And, and starting here for those of us who live on Turtle Island, it feels like a good time to do that. So that's what we'll be doing in a couple weeks. Again, I don't have a clue what that'll look like, but I will get the downloads before you get here. But I am sensing a soul retrieval really on behalf of our country. And this feels like a really prime time between the elections and Thanksgiving. This is a really prime energetic time to do that. So for those of you who can make it, I'll see you in a couple weeks. And if you're not able to, you'll catch the recording. And so Aaron, you can unmute everybody. And thank you all for being here. I've missed you, and I'm glad that we got to come out and play tonight. Next time I want you all to have one of little size. You're gonna have to, everybody put your, well, Ann can't do it, but Judy, you can do it. Some of y'all, we'll come up with t-shirts and a hairstyle. There you go. Okay. Goofy. I love being goofy. Hello. Thank you all for being here.
Really,
thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.